409. 409. I know whom I have believed. Let's stand and sing together. 409. Then we'll be taking requests, so do be thinking which songs you want to sing. 409. We'll sing all the verses.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word brought peace within my heart. But I know persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the vale with Him or meet Him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
Thank you. You may be seated. We'll take some requests.
$494.
Okay. All right, let's do all the verses. Like a River Glorious, 494.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Yet it flows. blast of hurry, touch the Spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, graced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust Him fully, all for us to do. They who trust Him
sing the first and last verse of 12. Sing the first and last, 495, Heaven Came Down.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After a darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior the passing of time. I have have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
The next one has to be in the key of F so far. Everyone.
Okay, one flat, people, one flat.
What did they say, when?
No.
224?
Does it pass the test? All right. She says it's all right. Jesus lives and so shall I. Any preference on the verses?
All five.
All five? Why not? Let's do all five. 224, all five.
Jesus lives and so shall I. Shine.
We'll take a few minutes to let you share what the Lord's doing in your life. Sun came up in the east this morning, which means God is still faithful. So what has He been doing in your life? Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. Gordon, give us a report on Andy, would you? Andy in room 4220, Washington Regional. Drop him a note or go and see him. He'd appreciate your company. So, good. Others. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. It has worked out in different ways, in different circumstances. Thank you that we can sing even of death, that it is just but our entrance into glory, because you are our hope and trust. Thank you for your blessings to us even this past week. Pray for Andy that you would continue his healing and that you would restore him to health. And for us tonight, as we look into your word again, we just are thankful for it. Thank you for who you are and who we are because of you. Thank you that we can be your people tonight. So bless our time, we pray in your name. Amen. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. We want to just talk a little bit, briefly, about some things that pertain to our life, why we live the way we do. Steve talked about a little bit. He didn't know he was doing this, but he did this morning. One aspect of living is in the area of temptations and how we deal with that, and Steve talked about that this morning. I want to talk about the other side of our life. Why do we make the decisions and do the things we do as Christians? And I'm beginning to think that to a large extent we govern our lives not by external things, but because of what we perceive ourselves to be, what we are. I remember a long time ago when I was overseas in Laos, and we kind of were running the country at that time, and we walked on the streets as Americans, and everybody knew we were Americans, and that just governed the way we lived, governed the way we walked, governed the way we did, we spoke and whatnot. Just because we were Americans, that's what we were. And it didn't matter who you were, just you were an American, and that led you to a certain life. For some unexplained reason, I'm a Bear fan, and that governs your life, too. You walk proudly, sort of. But be that as it may, what we are does affect the way we live, and we do things based on what we are. And we live the way we do not just because we're Christians. That's a general term that gets real foggy in our country. Even follower of Christ or believer is just a general term. And when we say those things, we kind of think of a large number of people. But I want to talk about myself or talk about yourself. Very specific. I act like I do because I am this. And tonight, out of Colossians 3, I want to give you very simply three words to remember: what you are, not who you are, but what you are. And hopefully, as we go through these three words, maybe they'll have some application to your life. Colossians chapter 3 follows rather predictably behind Colossians 1 and 2. And in Colossians 1 and 2, Paul is discussing some doctrinal issues. He talks about Christ, some passages on Christology. He talks about salvation, talks about principles of life, and so on. And then when he gets to chapter 3, he says, Therefore, see, if you have been raised up with Christ, if you're a Christian, If you are committed to a new life, then there are some things that I want to tell you. Live like it, essentially. Chapter 3 starts the section. Therefore, if you've been raised with Christ, if you're a Christian, live like it. And he talks about putting off certain things and putting on certain things. And these are just things that he picks up and says we need to get involved in this process of putting off and putting on. We put off such things as, in verse 5, we put off immorality. If you're a Christian, you put off immorality, right? See, impurity, passion, and so on and so forth. In verse 8, you put aside anger and wrath, malice and slander and abusive speech. You speak differently. You live differently. You speak differently. Verse 9, you put off lying. Something just like some clothes, you take it off and you put it away and you don't put them back on again because you're a Christian. And you consciously stop those things. You say, I don't do that anymore. I stop that. I put it off. And then you put on some things. It's not just what you don't do. It's what you do do. And in verse 13, for example, you bear with one another. That means you learn in the process. You put on, putting up with me, for example, you bear with me. You bear with one another. You put up with each other. You learn to forgive. Verse 16, jumping ahead a little bit. The word of Christ richly indwells you and you become a Bible person because that's where we learn things and so on. So raised up with Christ and being a Christian means that our life is going to be changed. We put off certain things and we put on certain things. And we have a new life. But if that's all I think about in this passage, if all I think about is what I don't do and what I do do, then somehow I start defining myself in terms of a lifestyle. A Christian does this. A Christian is one who doesn't do this. And most of you know my story. I was raised in literally a piece of paper that said, a Christian does not do, and then they made a list of things, and that was satisfactory. You know, a Christian defined by what they didn't do, not by who we were, what we did, but what we didn't do. It is expected that we will not do. And then they gave us a list, see. And there's a real, when we talk about putting off and putting on, and if that's all we focus on, there's a real danger that we will start defining ourselves by what we do and what we don't do. I'm a Christian because of what I do. I'm a Christian because of what I don't do. And I recognize that, you know, you read 1 John, for example, and Christians... He writes in black and white and says, hey, this is what Christians do. If you don't do that, you can't call yourself a Christian. And so he does deal with the black and white, what you do and what you don't do. But there's more. That is not adequate to think of yourself in terms of what you do and what you don't do. And so as I've been going through this for the last 20 years reading Colossians, there's a verse in the middle of it that just is out of place sort of with the don't do this, put these off, and put these on. And all of a sudden, he starts saying, this is what you are, not what you do or don't do, but what you are. And it's a marvelous little verse, and it has just three little statements about you and about me. And I just want to talk our way through that. To talk about what I am, not who I am, but what I am as a Christian. And it's verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on these characteristics. Put off these characteristics. As those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on these characteristics. And it's this little phrase. Chosen of God, holy and beloved. And I wonder if you've been like me and you just skip over that and just say, well, that's nice. But if you've ever stopped to think, what do those three things mean to you? And what do they mean to me? And I just want to talk our way through those things, because I think that's a basic description of what I am as a Christian. What I am, not who I am, not what I believe, what I do, what I don't believe. It's what I am. And it's a marvelous little verse. The first one is chosen of God. That's our word for election. And I know that even in this group, there are probably some that, you know, inside you start squirming a little bit when we talk about election. Raises a red flag. Uh-oh, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, did we take away this? And it's a trigger word, and it's emotionally loaded. And you say, surely he can't mean. And we don't mention it in public because it's just for a lot of people, it's a bad word. See? But really, really, it's one of the most wonderful words in the Bible. One of the most amazing things in the Bible. See? Because in this world in which we live, and everything's uncertain, what used to be up is now down, and everything's fragile, and the things that we thought were rock solid are now shown to have no foundation, and things are crumbling, and danger, you know, just everything's, it's good to know. It's good to know. I am chosen of God. See? I am elect. See? This was not a random and arbitrary action of God. He didn't just look at and say, I'll take the first 10 that come along, you know. Or he didn't say, well, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you know, and go on through and just arbitrarily just pick people, see. Nothing capricious about it. You hear all the time this nonsense that you are only a Christian because you were born in a Christian country. I mean, you know, that's crazy. I am who I am. I am what I am. Because very specifically, God chose me. And God chose you, perhaps, too. Very specifically. Not at random. Not just, shake the can and dump it over and see what pours out, you know. He chose us specifically. Back in Ephesians, just to some very familiar verses in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Jump down at the end of verse 5. According to the kind intention of his will. It was his purpose, his will, his decision to choose us. See, not just, well, thought it was a good idea at the time, but this is what he did very specifically. Verse 9, he made known to us according to the kind intention which he purposed in him. This whole process is purposeful. It was intentional. See? Verse 7, it includes salvation, and he chose us, by the way, to salvation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. And it's a process through sanctification of the Spirit and faith in the truth. And this choosing was worked out in the proclamation of truth and the work of the Holy Spirit and the faith in the truth and so on. And we're not discussing that at all. But the fact is, he chose you to be saved. He chose me to be saved. See? Verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 1. To the praise of the glory of his grace. See? There's a purpose in that. And that makes me very, very specifically special. See? The enemy can say anything he wants about me. He can say, you're worthless. You're this, you're that, you're no good. You're pinning your hope on nothing, and it's, you know. And I just smile and say, God chose me. And what can he say about that, see? He can say nothing about that. Election, it's a marvelous, marvelous doctrine. God chose us specifically. And the neat thing about election is you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to deal with it. You don't have to figure it out. See? You're not responsible for it. See? I didn't run for office and win an election. See? God elected me. God chose me. See? And God did it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, or chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. Because, in verse 5, the way you responded to the gospel. When you responded to the gospel in faith, see, and were saved, that's how you know you're elect. So if you're a Christian tonight, you are chosen of God. It's very specifically, I am his tonight. I am his because he chose me. Think about that. Does that give a basis for your life? Does that govern anything you do? See? Again, when I was overseas, I was working for a particular agency of the U.S. government, and we just did things because that's what we did. See? That's who we were. I am here tonight, chosen of God. Does that come into consideration when I make decisions for my life? When I decide to do something or I decide not to do something? See? If we understood that, it would be at least a factor in our life. It would govern my life because of what I am, not who I am, what I am, chosen of God. The next one, holy, chosen of God, holy. And we have, again, we get a minimal idea of holy. We think it refers always to sin. I'm holy and I don't sin. A holy person doesn't sin, that sort of thing. And there is an aspect of that. Holy has to do with sanctification as we gradually are made holy. We become holy in our lifestyle and sin becomes less and less and less and we're no longer characterized by sin. We are holy. But I think here, chosen of God and holy, holy basically means set apart. See? Set apart. Not, and obviously we're set apart from sin, so that's where that comes in. But what it really means is set apart for a specific person or set apart for a specific use, set apart for a specific purpose. See? I am holy. Now, every one of you has things in your house that are holy, right? When I grew up, I had an aunt in Chicago, old German lady, and she had a living room in her house, and that living room was holy. The kids never went in that because that was for company. And that room was spick and span, and dust wouldn't even dare to settle in there because that was set apart for the company. And she had a set of dishes that were only for company. When we ate over at her house, we ate on the common dishes, you know, and they had little chips out of them or they whatever. But she had a set that was for company. They were holy, by the way. That's what holy means. They were set apart for a specific purpose. See? I am holy. I am set apart. Now, I didn't set myself apart. I was set apart for a specific purpose. I was set apart by the work of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter talks about salvation includes the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, setting us apart for this, see? And holy in position, ultimately holy in life, but holy in position, see? I am not in this world. I am set apart from this world because in that sense I am holy. And would that change anything? See, would that affect the way you lived if you realized you were set apart? When you have to make decisions, when you come to areas where you have to do something, you have to either act or respond, you have to get or give, you have to receive or give, pay something, you have to do something or not do something, and you say to yourself, I am holy. I am holy. How does that relate to what I do? And I no longer do things the way everybody else does them, whatever the issue might be. See? Chosen of God, I have a being. See? He chose me, and that makes me His. And I respond in that role or that being. And I am holy. I am set apart for a specific purpose, and I seek to know what that purpose is, and I do that purpose because that's all I'm for. I am not for common use. I am for the special use that He set me apart for, see? And last but not least, and believe it or not, I am beloved. Now, you may not like me. That's not what we're talking about here, see? I am beloved, see? That's a marvelous word. Neat little chorus, right? Jesus loves me, this I know, right? I am the New Testament version of Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, where the Lord is talking to His people Israel, who are out in captivity, and He says He's going to restore them, and He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you. See? And He expresses His love to Israel, His beloved. And I am, in that sense, beloved. See? And just don't stop at God's love for you in John 3:16. That's a marvelous verse, but that's just God so loved the world. See? And that's true. See? Or that one in 1 John, you know, God is love, and we love because He first loved, you know. First loved us. I mean, that's a general verse. It applies to everybody, rightly so, but it applies to all sorts of things. But this one says, I am beloved. See? Especially, specifically, see? I am beloved by Him just because He loves me. No reason given. I may be lovable, but that's irrelevant, see? Stop laughing, Bill Humphrey. This is what I am, believe it or not. Beloved. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that love controls us. That love constrains us, because if we realize that He loved us, we would live our lives based on that love. And you can read it at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That love constrains us. It controls us. See? I was blessed for 47 years to live with somebody who said she loved me. And for 47 years, that love affected the way I lived. I made my decisions. We did things based on that love, see? That love is terminated by death. But I still wake up in the morning and I can go to bed at night, and you know what I know? I am still beloved. I am beloved by God, and death never separates that one, because neither of us are going to die. Neither the lover nor the loved one are going to die. That is an eternal thing, see? I have loved you with an everlasting love. With loving kindness I have drawn you, see? And Romans chapter 8, and you can read that in Romans chapter 8, has had quite a long discussion at the end of the chapter, starting at about verse 28 down to verse 38. And it's basically dealing with the question, what can separate us from God's love? And the answer is absolutely nothing. He gives his big, all-inclusive list of things that can't separate us from God's love. See? And so I can say, I'm beloved, no matter when it is, I'm beloved. And that love, if I understood that, would affect the way I live. It would change. I would do things. I would make decisions. I would act on the basis of that love. See? Not necessarily my love for him, although it takes in, but his love for me. See? That's what I am. That's what I am. Chosen of God, specially his, specifically his. Holy, specifically set apart by him. Beloved, specifically beloved. Not just in general, all Christians, specifically, see. That's what I am. It's not who I am, it's what I am. And if we understand those three words, elect, holy, and beloved, if I were to review them every day, if I understood fully, if I really believed them, it would change the way I lived, wouldn't it? It would guide my decisions. It would eliminate some things. It would put off some things. It would put on some things. It would fit in with all the stuff in Colossians chapter 3 and some other passages. It would be a life that is well pleasing to him. See, it's a basis for what I do. It's a basis for how I live. And it's not who am I, but what am I. So your assignment for this week is to memorize those three words: elect, holy, and beloved. Look at your life and say, how does this life that I am now living reflect that? Chosen by him specially, called out, set apart specifically for his purposes, recipient of his love, beloved. See? If any of you would do that, if I would do that, that'd be an interesting experiment, wouldn't it? How would my life tonight or tomorrow morning change if I understood and believed these three words? So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. It's just a marvelous little verse that just there. By God's grace, we'll learn it and we'll start living on that basis, because then the rest of it just falls into place. That's why I put off this. That's why I put on this. That's why I think, act, speak, do what I do, because of what I am. I am chosen, holy, and beloved. And this marvelous, marvelous verse. I want to leave you with a song. You remember those three words, but I want to leave you with a song. 490, we've sung it here before. It's a marvelous little song, but it fits this passage. Loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, gracious Spirit from above thou hast taught me, it is so. See? And then the last verse. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light in gloom decline, but while God and I shall be, that's a long forever, I am his and he is mine. Chosen, holy, and beloved. Let's stand, please. We'll sing the first and the last verse. 490. Think about these words. Father, we thank you for what you have made us. Chosen, holy, and beloved. We say these words even somewhat casually, and what a marvelous thing it is to be able to say them. Thank you for what we are. Thank you for what you are to us. Thank you for our life. May it be lived reflecting these words, that we really are yours, and correspondingly, you really are our God. I just pray you would bless us, cause us to remember these in the times that are ahead, when we need to decide, when we need to be, when we need to live, that we might remember what we are. So just dismiss us with this, we pray. Thank you for a time of fellowship as well. Thank you for the ones who have prepared it for us, for their ministry to us in this very special way. We are grateful. Bless it and bless our time together. In your name, amen. Now, we're out a little bit early, so have patience. If the kitchen people are not quite ready, don't yell at them. Yell at me, that's fine, but we appreciate them, so...